The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. This is Dr. Zudi Jasser.
We in America have a responsibility, and especially us American Muslims, have responsibility to take advantage of the freedoms that God gave us by living in this country and give back by being the place where the beginning of Reformation begins, the beginning of the root cause of counter-radical Islam can begin. And week to week, I hope this program, this podcast, is my small contribution to that cause. And we're part of the Muslim Reform Movement. We're part of a lot of work to begin to raise the bar from that low, sometimes soft bigotry of low expectations that we ignore the Arabs, we ignore the Muslim community. And I hope here we begin to shed light on what the importance is of the antiseptic of sunlight. Muslims this week are beginning our second week now in our holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month of spiritual atonement, of reflection, of humility, of family, of community, of looking back day to day in that 30 days, 29 or 30 days of that ninth lunar month, to reflect on what we have to be thankful for. And all of faith traditions have those moments of gratitude, those moments of fast, those moments of abstention from things that mean a lot in order to let God know that we worship Him, that we thank Him for all that we have. And Ramadan is no different from that. I want to start with a story out of Denmark that I posted as what I thought was just a level of insanity on my Facebook page. And I have to tell you, some of the responses I got reminded me of one of the things I think that we seem to forget, which is, you know, listen, there has been no one, I think, in the Muslim community in America that's been tougher on my own faith community, coming from a position of love, coming from a position of devotion and a position of practice than myself. And, you know, if it was left up to me, I would spend a lot more time talking about the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the faith that I personally practice. But that's not really going to solve the problem, is it? I've always felt that you have to spend your time on the area. Just like when I see my patients in my office, I spend most of my time in that 15, 20, 45 minutes I have with my patient dealing with their disease. I don't go through and talk about their healthful runs, their swimming, their diets, the good days that they eat the healthy things, the days they stay not smoking. No, I spend the time talking about those habits that can change, what they can do to improve their blood work, what they can do to prevent cancer, and what they can do to maintain health, and what medications they should take in order to prevent disease. Well, this is where I spend most of my time with the Muslim communities. How do we counter Islamism? How do we counter those things on the conveyor belt towards radical Islam, towards militancy? How do we counter the separatism? How do we counter the misogyny, the anti-Semitism, the homophobia, the aspects of radical Islamism and political Islam, specifically Salafi jihadism, that backward thinking that invokes militaristic approaches to Western society, to free secular liberal society? So, having reminded all of you of that, as I approach this news story this week that was described in the New York Times, that was described in the Washington Post, described in the UK's Guardian and the Times and elsewhere in European newspapers, and obviously in all the Danish newspapers in Copenhagen on, I think it's important that, you know, listen, when you approach this podcast, you come to listen to authentic Muslim voices that can be Muslim, that can be Islamic, believe in our faith, and yet reject all of the aspects that are threats to Americanism, to American society and the American Constitution. So if there are Muslims out there, some of you may feel we are mutations of an Islam that's incompatible with Western democracy, I would tell you that we are silent leaders and some of us not so silent, but that we are ultimately the future of a faith that will defeat theocracy. So, this week, a minister in Denmark, Inger Støjberg, she made the remarks in a newspaper column in which she said that, and this follows from a previous post, in which in her Facebook post, she posted a picture of her eating cake. And she suggested that Muslims fasting for Ramadan should stay home from work to, quote, avoid the negative consequences for the rest of the Danish society, close quote. And then she wrote a newspaper column earlier this week, 5 days ago, in which she called the adherence to the religious practice a danger to us all. She said the month-long Ramadan holiday, which began last week, involves daily fasting from dawn to dusk, a period that in Denmark lasts up to 18 hours a day during the spring and the summer. Støjberg pointed in particular to bus drivers and people working in hospitals. Her comments prompted criticism from Muslims and immigration advocates. And then obviously they quoted some Muslims who were quick to jump on the victim bandwagon. Now, you know, listen, I don't want to, we can get into some of the theology. Maybe I'll do that in the next segment. Granted, I mean, look, what do Muslims do? We fast from sunrise to sunset, from dawn to sunset. Here in Phoenix, I wake up at 3. We have a heavy breakfast, and we stop eating and drinking anything at 4:05. And then we break our fast later in the day at sunset, which is at 7:30. So that's a 15.5-hour fast. Now, you add 2.5 hours to that. As you get more north, what do you do in places like Alaska where the days could be 20, 21 hours? So, obviously, the vast, vast majority of Muslims adapt a moderate interpretation of their faith. So there's the extreme, which is to adhere to the letter of the interpretation of what sunrise to sunset is without any mention of where you are, etc. But you look back on the reality and you realize, well, the Prophet Muhammad was in the Arabian Peninsula, so obviously they did the fast there, but there are sharia, there are fatwas, rulings passed for those who may live in areas in which it just does not make sense to follow it to the letter of the law. So what you do is you follow it to the area nearest to you in which it makes sense in those time slots, and you follow it there. So Alaska may not make sense, so they may follow Canada, they may follow Washington State, whatever's the nearest locality of communities that you can follow that makes sense. 18 hours might be pushing it, but I don't think it is. But let's look at the comments of Ms. Støjberg. First of all, the insulting aspects in which she takes it upon herself to eat a large cake and say that Ramadan is a danger to the state of Denmark. Is this a reflection on Marie Antoinette telling the poor that they, why are they hungry? What should they do? They should go ahead and just eat cake. Is that what she's insinuating? Maybe. I really don't care. And Muslims shouldn't care. But I think it's worthy of conversation because truly, truly, you can laugh at religion. You can be an atheist and say how ridiculous it is that anybody prays to God and have the argument in which you mock God. To those of us who believe in the God of Abraham, that may be insulting, or you may just dismiss it and say this is part of the beauty of free speech, is that people can insult anything they want as long as they don't infringe on our rights to believe. We don't infringe on their rights to reject and believe in whatever they want. So having said that, the issue is not her mockery of religion. The issue is, what is the pathway? There are certain things that Muslims, Islamists especially among them, and especially the militants among the Islamists may do that you want to reform, that you want to defeat and purge out of your society. And if you believe that the spiritual pietistic aspects of Islam are those aspects in which you can begin to challenge and confront Muslims as being a vehicle to enabling Reformation, I can't tell you how misguided that is and how wrong it is. Nowhere in history has there been shown to be Jewish Reformation, Christian Reformation, or any Reformation of a strongly held belief in which the confrontation of personal pietistic practices is the way to begin or end a conversation about irrational beliefs. When you look at the reform that I've been talking about, counter-Islamism, we're talking about separating mosque from state. We're talking about defeating all those Sharia interpretations that talk about penalties for crimes, for stealing, for thievery, rape, blasphemy, apostasy, all these things that are part of the Sharia doctrine need to be defeated and thrown into the dustbin of history. That is where Muslims need to be confronted. That is where we shouldn't coddle them with the bigotry of low expectations. But unfortunately, we have now the last week spent our time talking about a minister in Denmark who decided to mock fasting and to really join the ranks of the Chinese tyranny, which for years, every year, our U.S. Commission on Religious Freedom that I was a participant of for 4 years from 2012-2016 noted that their mockery of fasting, in which they would force feed Muslims and go and arrest them if they did not eat a sandwich at lunch and show that they are not fasting, that somehow they felt that the practice of Ramadan united the Muslim community in a way that was a threat to China. So it wasn't to them about, as this minister in Denmark, Tuxberg, said, that it was because of safety of drivers, of bus drivers, of healthcare workers. No, for the Chinese, it was about unity under the Chinese government. So when we come back, let's talk about some of the other rationale that this minister used and how harmful it is to actually then begin to alienate the very people that you want to lead.
You're listening to Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser, the Blaze Radio Network.